ahead and raise your hand up high. We'll get them to you. If a few of you didn't get them, if I'm going to go ahead and start, and the ushers can hand those out to you. Well, we're on session 4 of part 2, so it's really session 14 if you put part 1 and part 2 together. And the premise from session 6 last semester, in session 6, my premise is that you would pray 10 times more. I guarantee that this is true for most people. I've said this for over 30 years. You'll pray 10 times more in the next year if you will schedule prayer time and if you will develop a few prayer lists. You schedule prayer time. You don't keep them all, and you don't always do the list. But with a schedule, that gives you a focus of when to pray. And again, you pray a lot outside of the schedule, but that schedule, it's an appointment that you show up. And when you have a prayer list, it gives you focused on what to pray. And how many times I've sat in the prayer room, and I've had a prayer list for, I mean, it's going on 40 years now, a prayer list. I've got several of them, and I'll go to the prayer meeting, and I'll be tired or unfocused, and I'm here I am, you know, the director of IHOP, and I don't know what to pray right now. I got a full Bible, and I'm just blank. And I look at my prayer list, and I go, oh, yeah, now I remember. And I start going down my prayer list, and I never do it exactly. I get off on whatever I want to get off on. But that prayer list gives me a thing of focus. And again, the goal isn't to finish the prayer list, and the goal is not to stay true to it. The goal is I use it just as a launching pad and a point of focus when I need it. And I need it a lot, and a lot of times I don't need it. And so I'm going to give you one of my favorite and most used prayer lists. And I'm calling this, these are prayers to strengthen our inner man. Meaning this is a list of 10 requests under the acronym of fellowship. You know, F stands for the fear of God, E for endurance. We'll take the 10 letters of fellowship. And I wanted a word where I could just sit there right there in the prayer room and just go right down it. And I've done that over the years. And the idea is these prayers are for your inner man, meaning these aren't prayers for your ministry external. They're not prayers for your money. They're not prayers for revival in your city. That's another prayer list, those kind of things. This is a prayer for you to enrich your heart before God using biblical promises and biblical prayers. Paragraph A, we considered intercessory prayer the last number of weeks. But now we're turning to the subject of devotional prayer. Now, when I say devotional prayer, I mean prayer for communion with God and spiritual renewal. Paragraph B, in this type of prayer, we're focusing on intimacy with God. The core verse that we're building this around is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Paul said, Ephesians 3, verse 14, I bow my knees to the Father, here it is, that he would grant to you to be strengthened with supernatural might in your inner man. So Paul prayed for the saints in Ephesus. He goes, Lord, strengthen them in their inner man. He prayed for their outer man, their physical body to be healed. He prayed for their ministry, their circumstances. But he was locking in to this idea of having might. I mean, just take a step back, might in the inner man. I mean, that's a powerful picture, might, divine might, making my emotions fortified and strong, divine might, giving me clarity in my mind instead of confusion and fear and all the turmoil that is so normal in human experience. I believe that this prayer is one of the most important prayers in the whole Bible. Paragraph C, the inner man speaks of your mind, emotions, and will. The inner man is the part of your human makeup where you're most aware of your interaction with the Holy Spirit. It's in your mind and emotions where you're mostly aware of the Lord touching you and visiting you and speaking to you. Paragraph D, your inner man, your mind, emotion, and will, you could call it your soul. Some people use that word, your soul. Your inner man is the only part of your humanity that you take to eternity. You're not going to take your CD that you made to eternity. You're not going to take your mailing list. You're not going to take your bank account. You're not going to take your popular ratings or your lack of popular ratings to eternity. You're going to take your inner man. You will have that forever. And that is the part of our life we should invest very intentionally into our inner man being strengthened. I believe praying for our inner man is one of the most neglected prayer focuses, yet one of the most, I believe it is the most important prayer focus, but the most neglected one probably in the whole body of Christ. And I want to encourage you to get a vision to pray regularly for your inner man, and I'm going to give you 10 prayers, and we won't probably even cover them all, but they're all just pretty straightforward and simple. But the idea, I just want to give you a vision and give you some motivation to launch out and begin to do that. Paragraph 2 under D. Just as our physical strength can increase or decrease, your spiritual strength can increase and decrease. I mean, the Holy Spirit's always the same. But I'm talking about your experience of it. There are seasons where spiritually you're experiencing far less. And other seasons, you're spiritually experiencing more. And we can affect how much we're experiencing in our spiritual strength. Now, people will pay attention to their diet to get physical strength. They'll do some exercise. They'll do some things externally. But a lot of folks don't really put that kind of attention on spiritual strength. And my idea and my premise here is that this is the most important thing in our lives. I compare this to taking vitamins. You know, when you take vitamins and you exercise on a regular basis, you may not feel any difference in the short term. Now, I took vitamins today. I've taken vitamins for years, and I don't feel any different than I did yesterday. But you take vitamins over the years, the right ones, it's going to make a difference. But there's never a day, at least for me, where I feel the difference. Like, boy, this was the real. I mean, my wife gives me this handful. The older I get, the bigger the handful of vitamins gets. And so I don't even know what they are. I just know it's a big handful. And I go, oh, man. She goes, do it. And she says, do you feel better? I go, no. But I guarantee you, after years of doing this, that my health is a lot better because of it. I mean, because she studies it out and you take the right ones. Anyway, spiritually, it's the same way. Not very often do you have a day where this is the day you can measure the spiritual increase of strength. Every now and then, you'll have a day like that where, wow, this was a big day. But mostly, the strength increases and you can't measure it. You can't even tell. But you look back over a couple of years and the strength has gone. You've gone from strength to strength, not that you haven't had a bad day in that season as well. Okay, paragraph E. This divine strengthening of our heart, in the middle of paragraph E, it equips us to stand against compromise. This divine strengthening of the inner man, to stand against depression, fear, jealousy, anxiety, rejection. Many of these normal human things, we have to have strength to overcome them, and that strength is available in our inner man, but we need to cultivate that strength and not just kind of leave it to, well, if God wants me strong, he'll make me strong. And Paul says, no, I pray for your inner man. And this is something I pray for myself, and these are prayers I pray for people that I'm interceding for. I go down this list and I pray these things for my wife, for my sons and their wives and our grandchildren and some of our leaders and the different ministries I'm connected to. I'll pray these prayers for their heart. Let's look at top of page 2. Let's begin to look at this. We'll just take a minute on each one. Again, they're quite self-explanatory, so we don't even really have to spend much time on them. And this is right out of the chapters of one of my books one of the chapters on the book on growing in prayer. This is just right out of that. Matter of fact, this whole course is right out of that book. But paragraph A, again, a prayer list, and I have several of them, is to focus your prayer time. And this is a prayer list of how I focus on praying for me, my internal life. I have, again, a prayer list where I pray for external things and for my ministry and for cities and nations, etc. So I've identified 10 prayers to receive strength in your inner man. I use the acronym fellowship. And the reason I wanted it, I want to get a, and I'm thinking a fellowship with God is the idea. And the reason I wanted it, I wanted just something I could just do. Of course, I've done it for enough years where it's pretty automatic, but still, it's remarkable how I've done this many, many times, but I sit down in the prayer room and go, I know I need a lot of help now. Fear of God. Yeah, that's it. Okay, and I it jump starts my focus. And again, I'll get way off the subject and won't finish it. And or if I want to pray for my wife or pray for a friend, this is the list I go down when I pray for their inner life. Paragraph B, F. The Lord promised that he would put the fear of God in the hearts of his people. Jeremiah 32, he says, I'll put my fear in the hearts of people. Well, when God gives a promise, that's not a guarantee. That's an invitation to experience more. So I go before the Lord. I go, you promised you would do this. He goes, good. Ask me now. Believe me for it. Engage with me on the promise. If you ask for the fear of God, you'll grow in it over the months and years. Again, like vitamins or many other examples you could use, you might not feel any difference in a week or a month or even 3 months, but 5-10 years later, you'll look back, you will fear the Lord substantially more if you stay with it, if you ask him for it. Psalm 86, verse 11. I've used this, prayed this verse for, near 40 years. Unite my heart to fear your name. Unite my heart to your heart. Unite my heart to your word so that I have the awe of God in my heart. I can't make the awe of God happen in my heart. God has to do this for me, but he will do it more if I ask him. Paragraph 2, it's a lot easier to resist compromise. If you even have a little bit of the fear of God in your heart, the awe of God, a little bit of that will go a long way in our ability to resist compromise. Isaiah chapter 8, here's what the Lord says. The Lord you shall hallow, and hallow means treat him holy is the idea. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And that idea of let the Lord be your fear and your dread means you'd be awestruck. The truth of his majesty would strike your heart like, Lord, you're amazing. And that's what the fear and dread means, that his awesomeness would touch you. And Isaiah 8 invites us. The Lord says, I want to be that to you, but I want you to ask me, and I want you to engage with me on it, and you'll grow more in the fear of the Lord. So I have paragraph 3. I have just a simple prayer. I would take this. We have this, it's all on the website, an electronic copy of this. I'd encourage you to take this electronic copy, make your own list, break it down, write your own prayers in, add your own verses in, change it as you go. I mean, I love to have this stuff electronically so I can add and subtract to it real easy. You know, often I'll have a notepad, I'll write it, then I'll go put it into my prayer list electronically. But here's just a few prayers to start with, and I encourage you to pray those prayers, and when you pray a prayer and you feel the Lord's presence, I mean a prayer related to this, add that prayer to your list. And that's what I've done over the years. I'll just say something like, Lord, just fill my heart with the majesty of your beauty. And I go, oh, I just liked how that sounds. So I go, fear of God, fill me with the majesty and your beauty. So when a prayer kind of touches you just a little bit, write it down and pray it again. The next day I prayed, it didn't touch me. But a week later, I prayed it, and it did touch me. I go, I'm keeping that one. You know, if it touches me a couple times, it stays on the list. If I pray it and a few months go by and it's always dull, I get rid of it. Okay, that's how it works. So my list is always kind of moving, meaning not the list itself, but the actual prayers. I put prayers that when I pray them and I feel the Lord, then I write that phrase down, and I use it again. Okay, fellowship, E, endurance. Now, the word endurance and the word perseverance and the word patience in the Bible are often interchangeable. Like Paul says here in Colossians, you'd be strengthened with all might, with all power, that you'd have great endurance and patience. Patience and endurance is really an interchangeable word, or perseverance. They're not, the Bible's not talking about in these verses having patience, meaning, you know, don't interrupt somebody when they're talking to you. Be patient. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about perseverance. It's talking about don't quit when it's hard. Don't quit when it's small. Don't quit when you have obstacles. That's what patience means. It means fortification, being fortified, having endurance. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. Paul prayed that the Lord would direct your hearts into the patience, the perseverance that Jesus walked in. That's a big prayer. Now, just for, I edited that down just to make it fit on the page better, but it says direct your heart into the love of God and into the patience of Christ Jesus. And we often, Lord, direct our hearts into the love of God, and that's a verse I use a lot, but often we don't go to the next part. And Paul says, pray that God would lead you into the endurance, that resolve not to yield to the temptation to quit. I've said for many years that the temptation to quit is the common temptation the whole human race has. The temptation to draw back and not press into whatever is before you. Even unbelievers have that temptation in their goals. But as believers, the enemy constantly accuses us and gets us tries to get us to not press into God hard. Just to, it's not worth it anymore. That's the number one thing. And if you think you're being picked on by the devil, especially you're not, the whole body of Christ is being tempted with that. Now, I want to encourage you. Some I've prayed over the years, Lord, lead my heart into the patience of Christ Jesus. I don't feel anything when I pray it. But it's like that vitamin. You know, you pray that over the years. I look back 40 years later, I didn't quit. And I don't mean quit Christianity, because a lot of people don't quit Christianity, meaning I'm still pressing into God hard. And I look back and I go, Lord, how did I not at least take a year or two off here or there in the last 40 years? And I think one of the reasons is the Lord says, you asked me and I actually answered you. Well, there's never a day I felt it. I felt like drawing back a lot of times, but I didn't actually do it. And how come I didn't? I mean, I'm as weak and dorky as the next guy. And I believe one of the answers is because I just put this on the list many years ago. And I pray it day after day and don't feel it, but it still works. It still works. And another one I put on the list is paragraph 2, is praying for zeal for your house. King David prayed that. Zeal for your house consumes me. Jesus said that. Zeal for your house. Zeal and endurance is the same thing, really. And I said, Lord, give me zeal for your house. I put that on my prayer list when I was about 19 years old. Prayed it, not every day because I skip my prayer list some days, but it was something I was very serious about, and it was very boring to do the prayer list, to be honest. I mean, after a little while, I started liking it, but for a while, it was like, ugh, just to be really honest, it was like vitamins. But anyway, I look back, and you know what Psalm 69 is zeal for your house, part of it is about? It's about the house of prayer. Back when I hated prayer, I was praying to do the house of prayer. Lord, you tricked me. I didn't even know that's what was happening. I mean, like about 10 years ago, I did the math. I went, because you know Psalm 69 John 2, when Jesus says it, it's talking about the temple and the house of prayer. I go, wait a second. When I didn't like prayer at all, oh my goodness. Anyway. So the prayer, number 3, is that you would have endurance. And that's that Holy Spirit help not to quit, but to follow through. And I tell you, it takes Holy Spirit help. And I don't know of any big experience where that was the big one. I think it's just that, and when I look back over it, it's just through the years, just that little bit of the Lord just keeps helping me sign up. And I believe part of it simply because I ask him. Without even feeling anything when I'm asking him. So I really believe in this, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, let's go to top of page 3 here. Let's go to L, the first L, love. Well, the Holy Spirit's first agenda is to make the first commandment first in the body of Christ. The absolute first agenda of God for your life is that you would love God with all your strength. That's the absolute number one thing. My question to you, not to make you feel bad if you got a negative answer, do you actually ever pray for that number one agenda to happen in your life? Is that something you actually are intentional about, or do you just think, well, you know, I know it's the number one thing, and you got my address, and if you want me to grow in love, here I am, make me do it. And I'll talk to you in a few years about it and check in with you and see if I grew in love. Now, obviously, that's a weird way to say it, but my point is you want to go after this. You want to actually target this prayer and make it something you believe for. And you say to the Lord, each of these requests, I spend 30 seconds on some days, on a day when I'm in a hurry, and I'm not going through it. And some days I'll spend a minute or two or three or four on each one of these. Meaning I don't spend an hour on each one. I spend 2 or 3, 4 minutes. And some days I'll spend 30 minutes on one, but that's rare. Mostly I don't. Mostly it's 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And some days it's 30, 40, 50 seconds. And I pray down over through this list when I drive home, coming back to FCF, when I'm driving by myself, I go down the list. I don't ever make it all the way to P, the last one, so I jump in the middle sometimes. I start at O, you know, because by the time I get over back to the Redwood Center, you know, I just want to just say them to the Lord when I'm driving. You know, I got a 5-minute drive. Why not take a few of these and just go through it? And sometimes I feel it when I'm driving, and sometimes I don't feel anything. But I think it's a great way to spend 5 minutes when you're by yourself driving somewhere or standing in line or just those gaps of time where you get 5 and 10 minutes. Go down this list. Well, Jesus prayed, catch this, John 17:26. He prayed, look at this prayer, that the love with which the Father loved him. Father, the love with which you love me. Put it in them. That's a prayer Jesus prayed for you. Now, if Jesus prayed that for you, how much more should you pray that for you? Father, put the love in me that you have for Jesus. Father says, you really want me to put in you how I feel about my son? I go, yeah. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, 220 volts and 110 unit blow up. We're talking about a billion volts and a, you know. I mean, you really want me to put the love I, yes, Lord, but just a little bit at a time. Just a little bit, you know, I'm a little guy. Beloved, what an amazing verse. I mean, Jesus prayed this. If he prayed it for you, because that's what he's praying for the saints through church history here, why shouldn't you pray it for you? This is one I put on the list years ago. I said, I love this one. Romans 5, the love of God's poured into the heart by the Holy Spirit. That's the principle. And what that means is the Holy Spirit inspires love in your mind and emotions. That's what it means when he pours it into your heart. Number two, I talk about, the prayer that we would abound in love. Paul prayed we'd abound in love. Praise it a couple times in Philippians and in 1 Thessalonians, that your love would abound. Now, that's a prayer you pray for others, but that's a prayer you pray for yourself. So I urge you, Lord, I want my love to abound. What does that mean? Very simply, look at paragraph 2. There's 4 ways in which love abounds in you. Your knowledge of God's love for you, we want it to abound. I want to know that God loves me. I want that to grow. I want to love God back. I want that to grow. I want to love people. I want that to grow. And I want to love myself in the grace of God as I love my neighbor as myself. I want to see who I am in the grace of God and love what God loves in his design of who I am in the grace of God. And so I want to abound in love in those 4 ways. Well, we could go on and develop these points, but my point isn't to explain every one of them. They're all pretty self-explanatory and quite simple. So I'm just going to move on and keep going through the list. Paragraph E, L. I was going to say I love this one. I love the other one too. I just love these. The light of his glory. You know, when Paul the Apostle, the day he was converted in Acts 22, he said, suddenly a great light, the light of God's glory. And Jesus spoke to him, and the glory of Jesus' light touched him. Paragraph 2, Moses said, oh, I want to see your glory. And we don't know exactly what he saw, but after he saw it, it says right there in Exodus 34, Moses' face shone bright. His face was so bright after he had that encounter. I mean, really, he put a veil on. I mean, could you imagine having an encounter with God? You come and your face is so bright, you had to put a veil on. I mean, that is like a whole nother level. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to encounter the realm, that realm of your glory. I want that supernatural dimension of the glory of God, the light of your glory, because this whole dimension of the light of God, for God is light. John 1, Jesus said, verse 51, most assuredly, you'll see the heavens open. He goes, I'm telling you, there will be those among you. You'll see the heavenly realm, the glory realm. You'll see it. You'll encounter it. And I said, Lord, you said most assuredly. I don't know who does, but I'm going for this one. I want to see more. I mean, not just feel the love of God. I want to encounter the glory of God, that realm. And the Lord says, well, ask me. Ask me about it. And I've had a few encounters over the years, and I've asked him, and you know, I want a lot more. I've had a couple of them, and they're dramatic. And I don't know that it's just because you ask. I think asking's part of it, and you know, God's sovereignty's part of it, and God's timing's part of it. I don't know how it all works. I don't have to know. All I know is, but I ask for it all the time. And Lord, I want to see that light, that realm of your glory. I want to see it more. Acts 2 promises us, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. That means on the body of Christ in all the nations. Not just in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost when this verse was initially fulfilled. God told the prophet Joel that a day is coming where believers in all the nations would operate in the realm of the prophetic and visions and dreams. I go, I want them. Lord, it's in the Bible. I want this dimension. The Lord says, ask me more. And again, I don't know how much more we'll get by asking, but I think we'll get more. Paragraph 3, the very end, Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Paul, John, I give some verses to where they encountered that supernatural realm, and God said all flesh, meaning all the believers in the nations. Okay, let's go top of page 4. Top of page 4. Let's go to O. I want to be a man of one thing. I want to have a one thing lifestyle. And that's one of the reasons why, right when I first started, so of course it was the Lord spoke Psalm 27:4 years ago. He spoke it audibly, and that's the real reason. But we've used that verse from day one of IHOP, because it was 32 years ago, the Lord spoke audibly Psalm 27:4. Didn't even understand what it meant. And he was talking about having a context where people would lock in to encounter the Lord. And he was talking about the house of prayer that didn't happen for 16 more years. But it was that verse. But it's this idea, King David was praying, in essence, I want to be a person of one thing. And what he meant by a person of one thing, it's not the only thing, but it was the first thing, the primary thing. He goes, I want to behold God. He goes, you know, he was king. He was ruling a nation. He was the head of the military and the head of the nation. I mean, I'm sure his days were full. But he goes, yeah, my days are full. I mean, he was the most powerful, most popular man in the nation, the wealthiest man in the nation. But he said, Lord, this one thing, don't let me lose track and don't let me lose focus of having that encounter with you. I want to continually realigned to this. Paragraph 2, Mary of Bethany. Jesus said about her a similar thing that David said about himself. The Lord told Mary of Bethany, told her older sister Martha, he goes, your sister has chosen the one thing. It's not the only thing that Mary chose, but it was the primary focus. And what I have found over the years, number 3, is that because I asked the Lord, I go, Lord, I'm intentional about this. I go, I want to be a man of one thing, a person of one thing. When I lose the focus, which I do all the time, I don't mean like every week, every month, but every, in the course of a year or 2 years, just, you know, it's not like it's on the calendar, but I mean, it's not like every 10 years, every year or two in there, the Holy Spirit will draw my attention. You're drifting in your busyness from that. It's like, again, how is this happening again? I mean, you'd think 40 years later, I'd have this one down, but it's on my prayer list. I go, Lord, interrupt me when I'm drifting. Don't let me drift five steps out. When I start drifting, give me a dream. Let the word off the, you know, the pages of the Bible touch me. Have a person come and say, hey, Mike, just somehow get my attention. And if you pray that prayer on a regular basis, I got good news for you. When you start drifting, you will be alerted. And beloved, it's a lot easier to correct the drift in the early stages of the drift than when you're way down in the path in a ditch. And so I said, Lord, I don't have the ability to keep myself focused. I have the commitment to, but I get unfocused and drift without knowing it. It's like I'm, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks into this. I go, wait, I'm not doing what I'm called to do. And I don't mean just called by God. As a believer, I'm called to have an interaction with God, not just as an IHOP guy, but as a believer, we're called to be people of one thing, to have the primary thing of our life. And so I asked the Lord, get my attention. Lord, I want to sit at your feet. I want that to be a part of my life, no matter how many opportunities and what I get from him all the time. I have to turn away good opportunities. Because I can't do all the good opportunities I get, and I can't meet all the cool people I want to meet. I love interacting with people that love Jesus. And I can't interact in all the social engagements. I can't take all the ministry. I can't meet all the big opportunities and still do this. And I go, Lord, I don't know how to figure all this out. But I say, make me a man of one thing. I commit to this. Interrupt me. Alert me. Help me. Give me resolve. And I look back over the years. And again, about every year or two, somewhere in there, I start drifting. And there you go. I'm just a step or two into the drift, and I get it. And I go, oh, my goodness, I did it again. I'm so resolved not to do this, but I keep doing it. And I think that praying it actually is part of the recovery. Because the Lord says, I'll help you. If you are serious, I'll help you with that. I'll talk to you, but I'll interrupt you when you don't think you need interrupted. Let's go to paragraph G. W, worthy. Worthy. This is a much neglected, misunderstood prayer of Paul. I mean, you just never hear it referenced. But it's a really important one. I really take this prayer very, very seriously, and I encourage you to. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, he goes, we pray always for you that God would count you worthy of the calling on your life. You go, what? Because that sounds like opposite of the grace of God. And Paul the apostle understood the grace of God. He wasn't contradicting he was the apostle of grace. He understood this was not a contradiction. I pray that, he goes on, to fulfill all the good pleasure of God in your life. You would fulfill all the work of faith with power, which means your entire divine assignment, you would fulfill it. That's the idea. Well, let's look at the first word that really alerts you. Verse 11, he says, we pray always. It's the word always. I go, Lord, you know, I've said to the Lord, Paul prayed that prayer always. In my 40 years of ministry, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it once, ever. I go, he prayed it always. This is a very important prayer to Paul, but almost completely absent in the minds of people that I've interacted with over the years. I don't talk about it much. This is something, though, that when I talk to the Lord, I said, Lord, this is something I really care about. And what's happening, again, I have written here in paragraph one, walking worthy of your calling is not the same thing as being worthy to earn your forgiveness. That is not at all what Paul's talking about. Paul is not contradicting his own revelation of the grace of God. He's not talking about earning anything. He's talking about asking God for grace that you would have a worthy response. you would respond in such a way to God that it would, when it was all said and done, you would walk in the fullness of your calling. Many people, they love God and God loves them, but their half-hearted response, they still are born again. They go to heaven when they die, but they don't at all enter into the fullness of their calling. Not even close. And the Bible's really clear about that. Many believers never enter into all that God wanted to enter into because of their half-hearted responses. They don't think about it. I go, Lord, I want on the last day for you to say to me, you did all the will of God. I want you to say that. And the Lord says, well, how's that going to happen? Is it going to just happen just out of nowhere? And I go, I'm going to talk to you about that through my life. Lord, I want you to touch me with grace that I could walk worthy, that I could have the kind of response that would keep me in that trajectory where I enter into the fullness of what I'm called to be. Now, when I mean the fullness of your calling, I don't mean that how powerful and famous you will be. You know, some people say the fullness of their calling, they think of how big their calling is. That's not what I mean. I don't care if it's big or small. I want it just to be the full calling. When I stand before the Lord, he's not going to say, wow, that was big, or wow, poor thing, that was awful small. He's not going to say any of that. He's going to say, did you do what I assigned you to do? And I go, Lord, if you don't give me grace where I have a worthy response, I mean, this is day in and day out, not that you don't have some bad days, that's not what I'm saying, that there's failures, there's stumblings, but there's recoveries. And there's this responding back to God. And he says, well, Paul prayed always for this. Do you ever pray about it? So I put this on my list some years ago. I said, I want you to touch me. And I break it down a little bit more. Jesus talked about this as well in Luke 21. He talked about, look at Luke 21, verse 36. And you can just read the notes. He goes, pray that you'd be counted worthy to escape. And what he means is the snare that's raising up in the earth, you wouldn't be trapped by the snare that's trapping so many believers even, where they're weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and anxiety. They're caught in the snare. And Jesus said, pray. Same thing that Paul said. Pray. You'd escape that snare. It's coming on the whole earth. And I mean, the whole of culture is being ensnared. Look what it says in verse 34, with carousing, that's that whole realm of sexuality, of immorality, drunkenness, cares of the life, anxieties, fears. Verse 35, Jesus said, this is going to come like a snare on the whole earth, like a trap to get you to where you can't get free of it. He says, pray you'd be found worthy. In other words, not that God would arbitrarily just say, well, you're in, you're out. He says, no, pray that God would touch you in a way and give you living understanding so you're aware of what's going on so you can respond in a wholehearted way. I said, Lord, shock me now. Don't shock me then. I don't want to stand before you and him say, you know what? You loved me, but you were blind in five areas of your life. You didn't see it. And you never even talked to me about it. You would have walked very differently if you'd have just asked me to just give you touch you in a way where you could see in a more complete, comprehensive way your life and respond in a way worthy of who I am. And this is a really big one. Big prayer, meaning in a very, very important one. Okay, let's go to the top of page 5. Speech. Well, this is obviously a very significant area of our lives. James said, in essence, if your speech comes under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, your inner man will come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the way James said it, he goes, if you don't stumble in your words, you're going to bridle your whole body. Your whole person will come under the leadership of God. You get your words lined up right, your inner man and your outer man will line up right. I mean, this is really a big statement. And it is a true statement. Paragraph 2, Paul spoke of, don't speak words that end up grieving the Spirit's leadership in your life. You need the Spirit's leadership if you're going to walk in fullness. You can't grieve the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. I mean, the Spirit still loves us, but if he's grieved, he's not leading us. And our words are really connected. And in our culture, it's just like there's this liberty in the culture to say anything you want because everyone's saying it. And the Holy Spirit's saying, if you're under my leadership, your words need to be under my leadership. Well, the other people's words aren't. The Lord says, that's between me and them. You want your words under my leadership. And your whole person will be under, meaning you'll find grace in the larger dimensions of your life. Look what David said, prayed in verse number 3, paragraph. He said, let the words of my mouth, this is one of my prayers I've put on there on my list over the years. Let the words of my mouth be pleasing. Look at paragraph 4. Psalm 141, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Beloved, I encourage you. This is a prayer. This is the most needy area in my life. When I look over 40 years, still is. And this is a prayer. I don't know that I pray it every day, but I pray it most days. I say, or I certainly try to. Lord, I need you to set guard over my lips. And what that means is, check me. Give me, when I'm about to say something, stop me. Let me see it before it gets all the way out. That's what it means to put a guard. Like, check me. Or even if it does get out, let me get it right away so I can take it back and say, no, that wasn't right. You know, I'm taking that back. That's what David's talking about there. Paragraph H. Matthew 11. Jesus said, learn from me lowliness of heart. You know, the only time Jesus ever described his character is Matthew 11, verse 29. He said, I am humble in essence. Just using the generic word, because gentle and lowly of heart, it comes down to humble. And some translations use the word humble. Jesus did not say, I am loving. He is loving. God is love. He didn't say, I am wise. He is wise. He never said, I am powerful. He's very powerful. He said, I'm humble. It's the only thing he ever, the only characteristic he ever described. And he goes, I'll teach you, if you ask me, I will teach you how to carry your heart this way. This is how I've lived in a human body, in a fallen world, I can teach you. Beloved, you really want to ask him. He will teach us more if we ask him. I encourage you to put that on your prayer list. Paragraph J, top of page 6. Insight. It's insight that leads us to intimacy with God. What I'm really saying here, but I had to make the acronym fit. What I'm saying is wisdom. But insight is the same idea of wisdom. Fill us, but here's the idea. Colossians chapter 1. Fill us with the knowledge of your will. Give us this living understanding. And I break it down a little bit there. You can read it on your own. That we would be fruitful. Look at that in verse 10. That we'd walk worthy. We'd be fruitful. But here's the phrase. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's key. Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, Lord, give them wisdom, give them insight every area of their life in a way, wisdom about their money, their time, their body, their marriage, their relationships, their enemies, their future, their fears, their phobias. Give them insight in all those areas. Let them see what you see so they can partner with my heart. And what will happen at the end of verse 10 here? They'll increase in the knowledge of me. They'll have partnership with me. I'll partner with them in their money, their body, their diet. You know, the Holy Spirit, one of my favorite prayers I've said over the years is, Holy Spirit, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about, by the way, that's a prayer for wisdom, let me see what you see and feel what you feel about, put any one of 1,000 subjects in there. I go, Lord, let me see what you see and feel about my health. Let me see what you see about my money. Let me see what you see about my enemies. Let me see what you see and feel what you feel about my fears, about my future, about my relationships, about my grandchildren, about IHOP. The Lord says, I'll tell you lots of stuff. I mean, the Holy Spirit knows everything about everything. He goes, talk to me in the knowledge of God. You'll have this interaction with me. So it really is insight into intimacy. It's not just raw information, but it's information that we're partnering with his heart. Ask him about your body. Ask him about your health. Ask him about your relationships. Ask him about your fears. Ask him about your addictions, if you have any. Ask him about your struggles. Ask him about your future. Ask him about your enemies. Ask him about your frustrations. Ask him about everything. Paul says, fill them with the knowledge of what you're thinking about everything pertaining to them. Ask them about your city, about your nation, about your generation. Let's go to paragraph K. Finally, then, for peace. Philippians 4, the peace of God. Now, notice it guards the heart, that's emotions, and it guards the mind. Beloved, we need supernatural guarding of our thinking. Many believers have so much turmoil and fear and indecision, and they're just constantly stuck in a quandary of confusion. And the Holy Spirit says, I actually would guard your mind. You never ask me. You ask others and you complain about being in confusion, but you don't actually ask me. I would actually give you peace that would guard your thinking, and I would give you peace that would guard your emotions, your heart. Fears, jealousies, angers, rejections. I'll guard you. Talk to me. I will give you more if you ask me. So Roman numeral 3, let's look at it. Fear of God, endurance, love, the glory of God, realigning to be a man or woman of one thing, to walk with a worthy response, this comprehensive response of the wholeheartedness to God, speech, humility, wisdom, and just the peace of God. Amen and amen. Let's stand. Oh, I beg you to do this. Even 2 minutes a day, and it will inch out. It'll be 20 minutes before you know, and it'll be an hour before you know that. Lord, I ask you for a holy resolve to do this. Even when they drive somewhere for 5 minutes just to go down a few of these, Lord, I ask you to let them see the potential of where this could take them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, 15-minute break. We got